Hello, friends. I'm your host, Christina, and you're listening to Radical Stepmoms, a podcast about the good, bad, and really ugly moments about raising a child that you didn't create. Here, I'll discuss the realities of co-parenting, the way stepmotherhood affects a marriage, the relationship with our stepkids, and most of all, navigating the relationship with ourselves. I want each episode to leave you feeling validated, empowered, and oh so radical. So pour yourself a LaCroix, a glass of red, or whatever, and listen in on Radical Stepmoms. Hello, you are listening to Radical Stepmoms. This is Christina.
And Gannett.
Hey! Cheers! Oh, this is so great.
I'm back.
You're back. This is, welcome to your first episode on season 3.
Oh my gosh.
It's been a bit, bitch.
Girl.
Yeah.
It's like summer, almost summer of 2021.
Yeah, it's been a while. Wow. I mean, there's lots to talk about. So,
much.
Disclaimer, this might be a very disorganized episode, maybe. I don't know.
A little disoriented.
We could be very... So, you know, just hang tight.
Yeah. Bear with us. We've had wine.
Buckle up. Grab your beverage of choice. Yes. And listen in. So, Gannett, last time we spoke on air, you know, you had separated from your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of doing his apartment, your apartment thing, occasionally talking, possible reconciliation.
Yes.
And so now, months later, we need to kind of catch people up and share how you've been doing, what the future holds for you, all that kind of stuff. So how about we start, you know.
Yeah, give me a starting point. Because I could just, you know, dive in at any.
Yeah, so any let's case. Start, well, because I know that.
You know my story.
Yeah, so how about we start. You guys are living separate. When did that kind of communication start happening again? Was it when Bio Mom went to jail? Should we start there?
Which time, girl? You need to create some clarity here. I mean, which time are we talking about? Oh, wait. Okay, so let me... I'm sorry, I could laugh about this for a long time. let me just say this. Listen, disclaimer, as mental health, as clinicians, as mental health professionals, we are not laughing at the idea of someone going to jail, but we are laughing about egg donor for those listeners that have followed the podcast in the previous seasons and her history around this. And it's comical because this individual continuously makes the same mistake over
very,
and over.
Very poor
so the shit's funny to us.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you asked when the reconciliation period started. That was around the holidays, if I remember correctly. God, so much has happened in the last 6-7 months. It's been amazingly confusing and eye opening, but it was around the holidays. I think the first initiation of communication was my birthday in November.
Which is in November, yeah.
Yeah. So we attempted to start communicating via text and then over phone. And a long story short, the reconciliation process definitely started around the holidays. And like you mentioned, we were doing kind of the two household thing. And in terms of still being married, we were separated. We hadn't proceeded with any divorce paperwork or anything around that. And I think, I can't answer for him, but for those wondering why I attempted a reconciliation in terms of, you know, how things ended and why I left or the marriage, you know, kind of broke down. I think... And I mentioned this probably in the last couple episodes when things were kind of crumbling. There were a lot of unanswered questions for me. And I think I had to tap into some of my own childhood traumas and family dynamics and just how my family communicated growing up and the lack of communication, the stonewalling, and just not addressing stuff. Similar to, I think, what he experienced as well. So I felt like when that door opened, I wanted to just get some questions answered for me. And even though I wasn't 100% sure about the process, I thought, like, you know, we ended things without a lot of communication. It was just kind of cut and dry. We stonewalled. We were just, you know, over it without conversation. And I felt we owed more to one another and to the relationship. So, so that happened. And then that happened with the whole two household piece for a while.
Meaning you guys were kind of dating at that point? Like, yeah. He would come over and you never went back to that apartment.
No,
but
no,
he would
didn't.
Come to visit you and it was kind of like this, you know, let's at least give this another shot. But
yeah.
Within the boundaries of you still go back to your place and, you know, you weren't seeing his daughter at that point. Were you?
No, not initially.
Not at that point, yeah.
Yeah. And then we had the conversation about, you know, seeing her again. And that was a pretty amazing moment. Like, you know, we had this experience where he didn't tell her. He had a surprise for her. He didn't tell her where she was going. And then I knew she was coming over, so I had some gifts, you know, ready.
Right, because you missed her birthday.
I missed her birthday and holiday. Yeah, some holiday stuff. So I had like a bunch of treats and gifts ready for her. And anyways, they showed up to my place and I kind of, I remember her just like, she opened the door and it was like this whole, you know, just moment of just pause of like, time froze and she just looked at me and then it was like, you know, kind of a deal. And it was like this whole experience. It was pretty awesome. So that happened. And things were moving at the rate that I was comfortable with. But he wanted it to move at a more accelerated rate. And so things went the way they went. We agreed to do, you know, some couples counseling. Some just helpful interventions to kind of help us navigate through some of our problems. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after the new year, some things transitioned with where he was living and in terms of like the lease coming up and like wanting a bigger commitment. So he proposed the idea that they come over and live with me.
And I'm sorry, gonna remind me again, even though I'm sitting in this apartment as I'm asking this question, how big is this apartment and how many bedrooms are there?
So it's a one bedroom apartment. And it's, like, small, right? It's so cute, and I love my place.
It is adorable. I mean, the way that she has this place decorated, it's perfect.
Thank you.
Just this couch. I have searched far and wide for the same couch. But
there's a vibe here, right?
There is a vibe.
It's a one person,
yeah,
maybe two person
right.
place if you can deal with that space. But it's, you know, it's a 600 square foot apartment. It's in a beautiful area. It's cute, but it's condensed and right. it's not built for a tiny human. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean a child. But you know, listen, I come from a background where I shared a room for many years of my life, if not most of my childhood. You know, I know what it looks like to live in a shared space in my upbringing. So I was open-minded to that, you know?
And, I mean, would you say that at that point you were seeing things in him that it was, you know, it was enough for you to trust that and that there were things that, I mean, you guys were going to counseling, like there were conversations that needed to be had that you were actually having now, and you felt like this was a safe space for you to make that transition and bring them back more into your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I thought at the time that we were putting a lot of effort into the process, and that was both individually and collectively as a couple, right? Mm-hmm. Because both things need to be true.
Right.
At the same time, right? We needed our individual work and then we needed our couple's work. And then I thought, guilty as charged, I thought a lot about her and how, you know, she 100% wants to be in my environment. Mm-hmm. In this environment with me. I shouldn't say mm-hmm. my environment, but this environment with me in the shared environment. And well, so
you bring a different energy. You bring that stability. You bring, mm-hmm. I mean, especially considering you've been in her life for so long, mm-hmm. you know, and it's confusing for kids that, I mean, because how old is she?
She's seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. for kids to even understand relationships in general, mm-hmm. and like you, she was your little sidekick, and yeah. then to just, you know, so
yeah, and then the idea that she was so excited to reconnect and that she didn't want to leave my side, so those were all, you know, influential in my decision making, because the fact of the matter is that this space that I have was very sacred from the moment I moved out and made the decision, because I created my own space, my own environment, my own decor, my own just energy in this place. So it was like, now I'm going to take a step back and kind of reintroduce, you know, both of them back into my life and my space. So it was a big decision. And then the other bonus part was, he's a primary custodial parent, but there was a 50-50 agreement in terms of time. 1 week on, 1 week off. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, cool.
Right. There's that detail. Yeah. Okay, so back up for a second. Prior to saying, yes, you guys can move in, mm-hmm. you had this notion of it would only be 1 week on, 1 week off because of the custody
schedule. Right. So the other week, 1 week would have her, three of us, and it would be struggle bus. Mm-hmm. And then the next week it would be just him and I, so we can kind of focus on one another and get through our weeks and, you know, kind of pay attention to the relationship. That was the idea. That was the model that I was agreeing to.
Right. And then, bam!
Then, bam! A month into all of this, y'all. Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, we're laughing about the idea that Bio Mom goes back to jail. So, you know, he gets a text message from Bio Mom's mom, so grandma, and my stepdaughter's grandmother. And she says, you know, your
baby
mama essentially is in jail, and, you know, for X, Y, and Z reasons. And this time she's going to be here for a little bit. And so that shifted things significantly. So that meant that
you have her full time.
Yeah. And I'm like, what in the entire fuck just happened?
It's just, I mean, let's just break that down for a second. I mean, like, so much of the stuff that you've been dealing with, mm-hmm. with you and your husband, have been very much related to you being a stepmom. And the role that you've taken on and the amount of investment you have with your stepdaughter, and frankly, how much your husband has taken that for granted. Mm-hmm. And that was a large reason for you to kind of step away.
Yeah.
And then during this reconciliation process, mm-hmm. not only are you like, okay, cool, come back into my space, mm-hmm. under these conditions, mm-hmm. and then boom, mm-hmm. it's like, no. Full time. Mm-hmm. Now you are in it even more so than you were when you were in the old apartment, 100%. Living all together.
Yes. Yes. Because at the old place, she had her own room. You know, we had our own room. I mean, the space is limited. And this phase that we were in was a chapter of exploration, mm-hmm. right? So this wasn't a permanent thing. Them coming into this space was, how do we see our future growing, if it grows? And if we can make it through this, then perhaps we can make it through the next chapters of mm-hmm. our lives. Does that look like we're going to purchase a home together? Does that look like we're going to expand this family and him and I are going to have a child? I mean, there were a lot of things on the table. Mm-hmm. And so those were all things that we were willing to explore while also feeling a bit uncomfortable, right? But in life, we get uncomfortable. And then it's like, okay, well, uncomfortable for 50% of the time. This chick wants to go to jail yet again. So now we're uncomfortable a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a big slap in the face of reality, and 100% I fell right back into that role of, you know, just taking care of it all, you know?
And not only, I mean, you and I have talked, you know, off air, and I've heard you take a lot of, you know, responsibility and being like, yes, I'm the one that, all this stuff. But at the same time, we can't discount the fact that your husband has been like, sure, go ahead and do all these things again. Even though he knew, rightfully, like, he knew that that was a large part of what caused the separation in the first place.
Right.
And so in a way, I'm like, no, I'm like looking at him like, dude, you didn't do anything to protect her. Right. You didn't do anything to be like, hey, we've been here before, let me handle this. Like, as you described, you know, she has to get ready for school in the morning to sit at a computer. But no less, it's important to get ready for school.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready for work, and you're the one, as he's sleeping, you're the one getting her cereal and making sure that she's all put together so she can do school.
Yep.
Which is the role that you were. So it's just, like, mind-boggling to me. And that there's always two people to it, but
100%.
In your defense, I am just saying, like,
for
him to say, we're going to come back into your space because this is your space, and to then just kind of fucking kick it.
And not protect,
you know, what was a large issue when this whole thing went down.
Yep. Absolutely. And to add to that, I mean, my job shifted, right? So working in one capacity where Christina and I were direct colleagues, and to working in a different, you know, more community-oriented role where I don't work from home at all. So I am in the field 100% of the time. So I'm out of the house, which I guess was saving grace. And part of this, because I was out of the house and I worked long hours. But I'm saying that to say that in the mornings and my routine with her and with myself was making sure that she was taken care of before my day started. And so yet again, I felt that he perhaps became a little too comfortable with that idea that she has, that she got it on lock. And I did. And
well, and you do. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like we're just going to pause this for a second.
Pause.
In that so many stepmoms have their shit together and are smart and strong and independent and have this knowledge and this nurturing nature. And it's not that they are, that they can't do these things. They can do them so fucking well that their partners see that and they're like, cool, I can just step back and you got this.
Right.
And it's that certain personality like you and I where it's like, yeah, we can do it.
Right.
But you're still a parent.
Yeah.
And just because I step in and I'm capable doesn't mean that I should be the only one doing it. Or just, you know, that you should take advantage of the fact that I'm a strong woman.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I have these abilities, but it doesn't mean that I need to use them all the time. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Like, even Wonder Woman gets to be fucking Diana Prince every now and again. Sure. You know?
Like, yes, exactly.
Like, let me put these superpowers away for a little bit so I can just fucking kick it as a normal person and you can be a parent.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Normal person, right? We're human. So our strength and our capabilities are...
But we're also very... overachiever? Would you consider yourself an overachiever?
I aim to
Yeah, like, we have goals, and we crush the goals, and that's kind of just in our nature.
Yeah.
And so even if it comes to, you know, whatever we've done prior to meeting our partners, when it comes to being a stepmom, I'm going to crush that too.
Yeah. I'm going to put my all into it.
Right.
And because we carry those characteristics does not mean that we're not deserving of a break.
Yep.
Or deserving of just relief and alleviation from, like, all the, you know, all the other things. So I think
I did not do everything that I did up until this point, so I can take care of another kid who I didn't create mm-hmm. when he has two fully functioning parents.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That is not why I went to grad school. That is not why I did all these things.
No. No. Because like, no. We're supposed to be in the supporting role. However, right. I think, you know, and I'm not going to speak for anyone else, but I feel like in my position, maybe it was taken for granted. You know what I mean? Maybe it was just you got really, really cozy in your space and you said this woman has a lot of things that she can handle. And whether or not I can handle them, that's up for debate. Whether I will
right.
is yeah. another thing.
Yep.
Right? Because there are some days where I don't have it in me.
Mm-hmm.
I may show up differently on the outside, but internally mm-hmm. I don't have it in me. But I'm going to do what I got to do to get through the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
so,
and the word protection still keeps coming up for me where, like, having a partner that can say, I know you're capable of doing this,
mm-hmm.
yet I'm not going to ask you to do it.
Yeah.
That's my job. Mm-hmm. Or we're a partner in this and we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yep.
Than weighing it heavily on you of, oh, you got this. Like, this is all you. You're the mom now, and mm-hmm. it's like, no, shit, man. It's way more complicated than that.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
there's layers here.
Mm-hmm.
There's layers.
So you were living together, doing the school thing,
mm-hmm.
Bio mom's in jail,
mm-hmm.
and how did that kind of progress?
I think it got a little tense, right? And more stressful because now there wasn't that break. There wasn't that space where we could, you know, work on our things. But, you know, with time, things become routine. So now we are just in it, right? We're in it and we're realizing that this is going to be the norm for a while because, you know, this child doesn't need to be subjected to all of this. You know what I mean? At this point, she fully understands that her mother's going to jail without even us having to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. She's aware. We got to give kids more credit.
More credit, yeah.
Than we do. But all of that just added to the layers of stress. And really the bigger piece is that this wasn't... shit wasn't hunky-dory, okay, for lack of a better term. It wasn't mm-hmm. just all good roses and rainbows and unicorns and shit. So we're still mm-hmm. trying to work through some things. I mean, the separation and all that was a lot. But then now you're thinking, we're trying to reconcile. We're trying to see if this relationship can work. And then now we have an added layer. And it's almost like this is a constant theme. Like, we can never focus mm-hmm. on just what we need right now.
You're always having to be parents.
Right. Exactly, which I think a lot of people can relate to, and not only just being parents, but being parents with the added chaos mm-hmm. and stuff that we can't control from an individual and her decision making, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so you know, all of these things, and it's like, bitch, if you make some better decisions, then I won't have to, you know, work through and mm-hmm. overcompensate and process with this child and all that.
And that's been a resentment that you've held this entire time.
Absolutely.
You're constantly doing more for your stepdaughter than you probably would just to compensate for, because you know that your stepdaughter deserves to have
mm-hmm.
a motherly figure in her life that provides her with mm-hmm. attention and yeah. care and thoughtfulness and fun and mm-hmm. just basic needs.
Yeah.
And not lice.
Exactly. And just the basic
just
shit.
Just the basic shit. And, you know, she's been a constant disappointment. And this mm-hmm. whole time you've been holding on to that
mm-hmm.
of, you know, you want to provide her that because you're deeply a good person. But at the same time, you haven't been able to focus on your relationship.
Right.
It's just been constantly caring for...
Damage control.
The kid.
Damage control with that and caring for her, absolutely, like you said. And the sad part about it for me as a stepmom is, this is such a cool kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've told you, she's mm-hmm. she's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She's smart, she's independent. More importantly, she's resilient. She's funny and, she, like, you know... Man, if she were my own, I'd be just as proud as I am of her as a stepmom, just elated with the idea that I could create this human being. And to think that someone wouldn't want to get their shit together for this, you know, this person that you created, this amazing mm-hmm. individual, is just, it breaks my heart for her. Like, mm-hmm. dude, like, this is a special kid.
And being in the work that we do, it's just so hard not to be like, you're fucking your kid up. Mm-hmm. Like, what you're teaching them right now is going to be long-lasting. Like, mm-hmm. the way that you're parenting your kid right now mm-hmm. is going to land them in therapy. They're going to have to try and fucking process right. why they weren't good enough
yeah.
for you to get your shit together.
Absolutely.
And here you are being that buffer of mm-hmm. like, oh, at least my stepmom was there for me.
Mm-hmm.
At least and my even, stepmom.
Right. And to add to that is, as much as I have been there and can be there for her, my fear is, and a lot of my experiences, it's just not enough. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, I mean, there's still that yearning. And yep. I know that we've had conversations. You know, she's even talked about how excited she is from when she gets out of jail. I mean, like, to hear a seven-year-old think about the idea that she wants to have a mommy party and, like, oh, all these yeah. things. It's like, it's amazing, but it's also understandable that she would have these feelings, because the fact of the matter is, that is her mom.
Yeah. They're always going to hold space for their parent.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's a unique situation.
Yeah. Which, I mean, totally not the same. My dad never went to jail. But, like, that's the thing that I hold compassion for, my stepson, or just any stepkid in general, where it's like, me growing up, mm-hmm. My dad and I did not have the best relationship. We were in separate states. He had several different wives, and depending upon whatever, I would see him, not see him. And I always was mad at him and questioning, like, why isn't he wanting to visit me? Why aren't we having this relationship? Like, I would resent my stepdad for being the one, you know, who's holding me after, you know, a breakup or, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, my dad could do no wrong. Mm. And that as soon as he would contact me, as soon as he would say, hey, come visit, or hey, I'm coming down, or whatever, mm-hmm. it was like, he's super dad. Mm-hmm. And that shit is ingrained. And mm-hmm. I think of that with your stepdaughter. I think mm-hmm. of that with my stepson. And it's like, they don't see the inadequacies of their parent and what yeah. they should be doing.
Right.
And they're always going to seek out that love mm-hmm. and that validation and that attention, mm-hmm. even in the small ounces that they can get it.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like I said, they don't see those inadequacies and all the flaws and the gaps, and they shouldn't.
Right.
Because they're children.
Right.
They're yeah. little tiny humans. Their brains are still developing. Their hearts are still trying to understand all of it. And they shouldn't. And that's why it's up to us adults to kind of help them navigate that. Ideally, their parents to mm-hmm. help guide them through this and support and love them. You know what I mean? So it's not their job to differentiate, mm-hmm. even though they may have those feelings. They don't understand them till yeah. years later. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Years later. And
I think you're right. I think that that is like a coping mechanism right there. And I think it's also important to note that as the step parent, or as the parent who's to not try and make them see that. Because mm-hmm. it's just going to cause a divide mm-hmm. with you and them and that kid. I remember mm-hmm. one particular argument with my stepdad and I, where I think my stepdad just kind of had it and was like, well, your dad doesn't even, you know, something slipped mm-hmm. about his own feelings regarding my dad. And I just remember being super mad at my stepdad. Like, how dare you talk mm. about, you know? And it's like, you don't want to cause that divide. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, it's frustrating on this end, but at the same time, like, we have to just do our best to mm-hmm. protect our kids and their innocence in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I think you have done a lot of that.
It is hard not to say, your mama does this, yeah. and she ain't shit, and, yeah. you know.
When is she going to get her shit together to take care of you?
Yeah, so many things that I could say that I think with specific vocabulary messages about, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's evident how I do things as a stepmom. And kids will be able to differentiate what they need and what they want and what's helpful and all that stuff. So I don't need to, you know, bash anybody in their face, and it's not good for them anyways. But I mean, trust me, you know, yeah. I mean, if she comes at me as an adult in years and years,
right, so you'll be like, I'm going to lay down the truth for you. Yeah. Honey. Where's your wine?
Exactly.
So we're going to take a break really quick, okay, and then come back and continue on with your story and where you're at now.
Okay.
All right, Radical Mamas, I want to talk about the first resource I found as a stepmom. Stepmom Magazine was a game changer for how I navigate this role. It's an online magazine with articles from all the top step parenting experts on all things stepmom. Each issue is packed with insights, tips, and validation from licensed therapists, published authors, and stepfamily professionals who know and live the stepmom life. Stepmom Magazine also has ebooks specific to special topics like disengaging, being a full-time stepmom, parental alienation, and so much more. They are all available to download right now. I subscribed years ago and is exactly what I needed to feel less alone and more supported. Getting that monthly email telling me the new issue is out is like getting a warm hug from another stepmom. To subscribe, head to stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save 20%. If you find something that makes you say, yes, hell yes, me too, send me a DM on Instagram and let me know. I love hearing from you. Again, that's stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save you 20%.
All right, so we're back and yes, continuing on with Gannett's, I guess, progression in the relationship. So you were trying things, going to therapy and stuff, and from conversations that we've had, I know that there was this, like, defining moment when you realized, this isn't really something that I want to invest in anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that moment for me was, so, like I mentioned earlier, we navigated couples therapy and went through that, which is huge because, you know, in the field that we work in, I'm a huge advocate for counseling, therapy, all of the things. And he was open to that, and that was huge because that had been an area that he didn't want to
super resistant
explore.
To it, yeah.
Yeah, he is very resistant to it in the past. So during this reconciliation phase, he was open to that. So I took advantage. I'm like, yes, I want someone, a third party, to help us navigate these issues. But one of the things, and I will say this, couples therapy, in my eyes, because I've done it before in terms of being the professional in the setting, it's going to look differently for everyone. And the end goal is also different for every couple, right? And so for me, I went into it with an open heart and a willingness to learn what the real issues are. And within that is, can it still work with knowing all of this information? And I'll tell y'all right now, for those of you that have and have not done it, for those of you that had, well, can relate. For those of you that have not, be open to the idea that you're going to hear some shit that you don't want to hear. You're going to say some shit you don't want to say. Listen, it's going to be some uncomfortable moments. Yeah. Some sessions are going to be easier than others. But you got to be raw, you got to be real, and you got to be transparent in order for the process to work.
You can't hold back. That's the whole point that you're there.
Yeah, and you're like, why did I sign up for that? But I promise you it's worth it. So I say that to say during our sessions, there was a disconnect for me individually. And so I'm not going to share his side because I don't want to share a perspective of someone that's not here to represent that for themselves. But for me, I felt there was a disconnect. So I decided to meet with the counselor individually to address some of the separate concerns I had, my disconnect and all of that. And
which I'm just going to say, not all marriage therapists will do that. Just so if you are, you know, working with marriage therapists, some will be like, yep, I will meet you with individually just to get a background, and then we'll join back together.
Yeah.
Some won't.
Some will want
just to keep things like super biased and represent both equally. I think that it was, I personally like when therapists can do that, because I think that it gives them this background where it can, you know, like, if you don't feel like you can speak freely in front of your partner in this area of therapy, we can work towards that together. So perhaps I can help you facilitate that later on. So just saying that, you know, anyway, go ahead.
No, so it's a really important point that you bring up, because not many, like I said, will want to do that for some reason or another.
I feel like it's up to the discretion of the therapist if they see a benefit, and that maybe your therapist was like, if there's things that you need to say, you know, privately, then maybe I can, like I said, help you facilitate to utilizing that into a group.
And I think it's how couples. I presented it. It was just not like, hey, listen, I'm wanting to dig bash deep into his stuff or bash him or whatever. But it was more like, I'm stuck. I'm struggling. This is about me. And you've worked with us for a couple of months now. You have insight and knowledge into both him and I, what our issues are, etc. And so how can you help me navigate this and maybe create some clarity for me? And so she was open and willing to do that, which I was very grateful for. And within, I had two separate sessions with her, and you know, I will say that, you know, it was so neutral. Like, I mean, like, and I love that, right? Because as a clinician, I want somebody to come and say they're going to represent both clients, but the focus was for me, right? And so with that, I learned a great deal of information, and it was just able to, like, I was able to look deeper at our issues, look deeper at our core values, like what I need, what he may or may not need, or and just where I was stuck. And so, like, I could get into the layers of all that, but I won't bore you guys. But what I will say is that when I say there was an aha moment in that session with her, I mean, shit hit the fan for me. It shifted, it tilted, all the things. I mean, there was a lot of clarity. There was a light bulb. There were so many things that went off for me that I was like, okay, I needed to do this. This happened for a reason. And at that point did I realize that I think I have what I need to make a decision about this reconciliation. And before I make that decision, I'm going to take notes from this session, and I'm going to bring it to him. Because I want this to be a fair playing field. I want him to know what we discussed. There's no, there aren't any secrets. Like, this is on the... this is on the table. So I did that, and unfortunately, it wasn't received well. It wasn't received well. He wasn't willing to kind of dig deeper. And my conclusions from that, looking back now, and you guys are probably going to kind of conclude where this may be going with my word choices here. But he wanted a quick fix. And what does that mean? He wanted some answers from a clinician that would help fix the relationship so that we can just move
continue
forward.
On. Yeah.
Let's put a big old fancy Band-Aid on it and let's call it good. And while that's ideal in most people's world, it would be cool if that could work.
Right. You got to put in the work, though.
You got to put in the work. And it's not going to work. Putting a Band-Aid on it is not going to work. For him, that I think that that's something that he's been familiar with his upbringing, and that's okay. So, that being said, that conversation didn't go so well, because it meant that he had to dig deeper. Like you said, he had to do some homework, he had to do some reflection, and I'm gonna just make a very long story short, you guys. I went from having a calm, cool, collected conversation about values, about our visions, our goals, our traumas, all the things that I wanted to really just have a deeper connection with and say, how do I get to know you on a different, I've known you for almost 6 years of my life. I want to know you on a deeper level. Let's go just layers with it. Right. And he wasn't willing to open that door at all.
And that is, I feel like different than, I mean, when you connect with someone on that type of level,
yeah,
that's like soulmate searching, right? Like you are, if you can be real and you can be open and honest and transparent and expose all of your flaws and fears and all this stuff, that is where you find your person.
Yeah. Right?
And that, if you can acknowledge all this stuff and that these are the things that make you who you are, and perhaps we overanalyze this because of the field that we're in. I don't know. But when, I mean, all of that is connected to how you operate in your everyday life.
100%. And
I mean, if my husband and I have these breakthrough arguments where we've been arguing about the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and then finally one of us says something and it's like, oh, I get why you tick that way. I see why you react that way. I see why this upsets you, because we've talked about your, we finally, you know, dug deeper into the core values. And, you know, that's the things that I express so often when we're talking about, you know, boundaries as stepmoms, or, you know, the harder feelings that we have, is that it's always so much deeper than the surface. And if our partners can see that and understand that, they can empathize and help hold compassion for our experience.
And vice versa.
I mean, when my husband is freaking out about bio mom, and he's just super pissed about her and how dare she do all this stuff. And I'm going, whoa. But I understand that she's done all of this damage to him years before I was even present.
Right.
And I can see, you know, like the more we understand, and the fact that, you know, you were standing in your most vulnerable state.
Yeah.
And saying, look, this is who I am. This is what I want to know about you. This is what I want you to know about me. And he was still
resistant.
And that is on him. You know that. Yeah. But that's on him. And those are the walls that he's built to protect himself his entire life.
Yeah. And I'm happy you brought that up, because I wanted to clarify that I don't intend to make it one-sided with this, you know, sharing of my journey, because he has his stuff, but so do I. And I'm willing. I'm like, here I am. My shit's on the table, man. Like, my shit is not all fucking roses and fucking lilies and all the beautiful, beautiful flowers of the gardens and all those things, you know? But I mean, what I what I'm saying is that, like, I've had my stuff, right? And I'm willing to share that with you, because I'm hoping that we can build a deeper connection and develop that bond beyond where we think we could have gone. And so I'm willing to be there and do that if you are as well, but you're not. And so anyway.
But he still wanted you to be a mother to his kid.
Well, sure.
And like that.
Well, listen.
That's what I feel like is like.
Yes.
Like, when you are a stepmom who is contemplating leaving, or you're wondering if it's worth it, and you're standing in front of your partner going, are you going to fight for the relationship?
Yeah.
Are you going to fight for me? Or are you just benefiting from me being in your life to be a co-parent to your child?
Right.
Like, which person are you actually fighting for?
Yeah.
Because I feel like your husband wanted that part of you.
100%.
He wanted you to be Gannett, the best stepmom ever. The wife who always does all this stuff and does this and has these ideas and doesn't have any feeling about it and doesn't need anything more than what I'm giving her, which is probably this much.
Yes. Yeah. And it took me a while to actually not know that, because I feel like I've known that, but to actually, I will say, accept that.
Right. Well, and I think there's always that hope, right? There's always that hope that things are going to get easier, that things are going to get different, that bio mom is going to do this, that. And that's the sticky situation that we're in of navigating, is this worth it? What hope am I holding on to? Is it true hope, or is it naive hope is, you know, like, and that, yeah, like, yep, no one can answer that but you.
Right, right.
And just like you did, mm-hmm, it takes trial and error. It takes that digging into your inner self, mm-hmm, and separating yourself from that environment.
Yep.
Talking to a therapist, talking, mm-hmm, to friends, talking to, and really figuring out, you know, what you really want, mm-hmm, separate from, mm-hmm, the family that you've been investing in. Because, yeah, it's very easy to get sucked back into it.
So easy. Easy. It's so easy. And what I want to say is I don't want to focus on that negatively, because I had a conversation with my mom about this. You know, you think about the shoulds, mm-hmm, I should have, or I should have not, or whatever, mm-hmm, but I am who I am. This is who I am. I'm built to be this way, right? This is who I am. And so with that, I don't plan on changing these traits of myself, but I think it's about, you know, placing yourself in a scenario that can be embraced in the right way. You, mm-hmm, know what I mean? So, yeah. So I had a moment. I paused here. I'm just going to derail a little bit. I paused, mm-hmm, because I've been having a lot more candid conversations with my mom, mm, who's a stepmom, or, right, you know, I guess was, because they're all, you know, full adults at this point. Yeah. Very grown. And just about the need to fulfill and give, and, you know, so we share a lot of similarities, and it's interesting because here I am, a woman of a particular age, y'all. I'm in my 30s, let's be honest, but to have these conversations with my mom and her experiences, and to say, we're the same person.
Oh, isn't that weird?
You know, we're the same person. I'm like, when I was a baby and you had four stepkids,
oh my God, you were the R's baby, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. You were doing what I'm doing.
Isn't that fucking weird?
It's so fucking weird. And it's weird, and then it's like, now I feel fucking closer to you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so wild. So, having these candid conversations, you guys, is huge, because the bridges the gaps you'll create, mm-hmm, and these bridges you'll cross, it's crazy, and it's it's just eye opening. Mm-hmm. So anyway, tabling all that clinical, you know, philosophical
process your
shit.
It's really important.
Yeah, process it. Even the therapist needs therapy. I'm gonna say it again. Yeah. Even the therapist needs therapy. Yes, we all need a listening ear.
So that conversation with you and your husband, it was not received well.
It was not received well. I made the decision. I made the decision because I felt like I had to make a decision that this was not something that I needed to move forward with. It wasn't healthy. All the things, I had the conversation. I said it would be healthy to move out. And he agreed. And, you know, we talked about a potential time frame here or there, you know, and then I'm just, you know, I'll just get to the point, at the end of the day, that time frame shortened itself because we got into a very, very ugly fight.
It was time for him to go.
It was an experience that I would rather have not experienced. And so that was the final straw, and listen, the expiration date on the relationship was evident, and it went beyond the time that it needed, and so life accelerated the time frame for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved out, and
we're gonna sage the apartment.
and that's, you know, it's tough, but it's also, I was telling Christina earlier as we're drinking wine and having food, that I feel a huge sense of relief. And I may have mentioned this before during the separation, but this sense of relief, this shift for me is different. Mm-hmm. I feel differently about it. I feel mm-hmm. free. I feel like I finally gave it the time and effort that it needed mm-hmm. on my end. Yeah. Like Gannett, I'm not worried about him. Gannett got mm-hmm. the answers she needed. Mm-hmm. She got the boxes checked that she needed to be checked.
You know that you can walk away knowing you did everything that you mm-hmm. possibly could. Mm-hmm. And it was him that was unable to. Or
he wasn't. He wasn't ready to show up.
Yeah. For his own reasons. Mm-hmm. But what you know is you were done waiting for him to catch up with you.
Yes.
And my own witnessing of you and your journey is you have been waiting for him
to catch up to me
for a long time.
Yes. I love that. Can you say that again?
You have been waiting for him long enough, and you are done waiting.
Yes. I love that. I have been waiting for him to catch up to me. I have.
I'm getting teary.
I have! and that resonated with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's real. We're getting emotional, y'all. Because it's real. And this is real life we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And where as women, stepmoms aside, as mm-hmm. women, we have hopes and dreams and mm-hmm. and all this stuff for relationships. Mm-hmm. And it gets more fucking complicated when you add a child into mm-hmm. the mix that you didn't create. And mm-hmm. you have these expectations placed on you. Or you have these expectations that you put on yourself.
Yeah.
And shit gets hard. But at the end of the day, you are still a woman looking towards their partner saying, love me. And yeah. I will love you. Yeah. And trying to figure that out. And, you know, it takes a special type of woman to step into a situation and go, I will help you raise your kids.
Yeah.
And when we don't have a partner who's willing to hold our hand through that experience, in mm-hmm. addition to the basic mm-hmm. experience of having a relationship and a marriage, mm-hmm. I will always encourage a woman to walk away from a relationship if mm-hmm. it is no longer serving you.
Yes.
If you cannot hold space for someone, mm-hmm. if they are not willing to participate in the amount that you are.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Yep. Come on, preach! Come on! Take us to church, honey! Listen, she said something that's so key to me, and I've said this to myself. It doesn't serve me anymore. Mm-hmm. It doesn't serve me. And I think that's the biggest thing to remember about relationships in whatever that looks like. Personal, mm-hmm. friendships, relationships, jobs, romantics,
whatever it is.
All the things. If it doesn't serve you, then you have to look at it. Mm-hmm. You just have to look at it mm-hmm. and determine what direction you want to go. But this relationship, this marriage didn't serve me anymore in terms of my growth as an individual or my growth as a partner. And so I had to call it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had to call it. The referee came out with his whistle and I called it. And so, yeah, you guys, I mean, I'm on the journey of this divorce thing and that's my life right now.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that to say to that too, in navigating those feelings of leaving, mm-hmm. I know I've received messages and emails and things about, well, what about my stepkid? Mm. And the weight that we put on ourselves mm-hmm. of supporting or staying in a relationship because of the kids. And mm-hmm. I mean, you and I talked about this before we recorded that, even in nuclear or, you know, mom, dad, or people get married, they have a kid and they are struggling to stay together or not stay together for the sake of the kids. Mm-hmm. So much research, literature, everything right now is like, don't stay together. If it's not working, don't stay together.
Right.
That kids deserve to see happy people, happy humans, happy mm-hmm. parent figures. No matter what that looks like, together or not together. And I do not feel like that's any different than if you are a step parent.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
You know,
wholeheartedly.
If this is your life, mm-hmm. and you deserve to be happy, and mm-hmm. yes, the kids will transition, and yes, your stepdaughter misses you without a doubt, mm-hmm. and she is navigating what that looks like for her, and her story has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of that, she needs to see her dad be a dad. She needs to see her dad step up for her.
Yeah.
She, you know, I mean, we can talk, you can speak to how, what that looks like for you moving forward in your relationship with mm-hmm. her. But, you know, I guess my message here is, don't stay in your relationship for the kids that you didn't create. That is yeah. not your responsibility. Right. That is not your, it's not for you to carry.
Right.
And it's awful. It's absolutely gut-wrenching that step-parents don't have any legal
yeah.
thing. You know, like when you're, and that's the difference, right? When you're parents and you're like, oh, we're going to separate, but we're going to share the kid. Step-parents don't get that, right? Mm-hmm. Like step-parents, you have to grieve or hope that mm-hmm. you can still be a part of their lives and navigate that. And
it's part of the deal.
And that's complicated.
Yeah.
But God, I'm always going to advocate for your happiness, ladies. Like mm-hmm. I get messages all the time of when do I know? And it's like, only you're going to know.
We have one life to live, and it sounds so cliche, right? Mm-hmm. Life is short. You have one life to live. But you do, and it's so interesting because, you know, working with people constantly, I try to empathize and I try to put this hat on of just like I'm going to understand people's feelings or try to understand people's feelings at least. Mm-hmm. But I've been told a couple times in the last few weeks, it's not your job. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that in terms of me exiting this relationship and the stepmother role. We know you care, Gannett, but you realize it's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear those words is so matter of fact. And it's so fucking real. Right. It's like, damn, man. Right. Like, I know this shit, right? I know it's not my job.
I know it intellectually, but getting my heart to match with my head is like, that's the
battle. Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, I know it's not my job. I know I can walk away right now and never see my stepdaughter ever, right? Scenario based. And no one can hold blame on that, right? Because I'm not obligated to her. Emotionally, mm-hmm. I was and am connected to her because of her father.
Mm-hmm.
That I fell in love with him, and then by proxy, I fell in love with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not always a guarantee as a step-parent. Should the marriage, should the relationship not succeed, the risk is high, and that risk being how that looks when the relationship ends, because the relationship is not just with your partner. It's also with this child.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I will speak to my experience and say that, you know, and I've told you this, Christina, when we went to dinner a few weeks ago, there was a point in time, and there still is, there's a part of me that had the conversation with him and said, listen, should things end amicably and we can have an understanding? And I'm sighing, you guys, because it's heavy on my heart. But I want to be a part of her life. And I'm not saying I'm here to co-parent with you and baby mom and all that. Like, that's right. Listen, that's too complex for me, okay? Mm-hmm. This is too complex. And I say that because I haven't had the experience of having my own child yet. And I want to preserve myself and some of me for that. But what I will say is that I was agreeable to be a person of support. And however that looked, I wanted to maintain mm-hmm. a relationship with this child.
So you get to be the cool aunt.
Yeah, the cool aunt. It's like every month if I want to hang out or, you know, holidays and all that. And you know, and honestly, it could have been more because my heart's so connected. But that argument, you guys, at the end was so ugly for me. And it resonated so deeply with my heart. And it connected so many pieces for me that I was just, I was and am currently shut off to that idea. And while some might think, is this selfish or not, questioning, This is for me. This is Gannett's time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when this time is going to end. There's no mm-hmm. timeline on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
there shouldn't be.
Right. And that's the thing. It's mm-hmm. like the fact that we're putting pressure, the fact that you're still putting pressure on yourself as a stepmom to show up,
mm-hmm.
even in the dust.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, you can look right here and there's a picture of us.
Uh-huh.
You know yeah. what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, like, it's that much a part of my heart.
Right. And that is beautiful and says so much about you. But at the same time, again, always going to remind someone, mm-hmm. take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that you mm-hmm. need to mourn the relationship. Or, you know, find you again before you put yourself into someone else or, yeah. or whatever that is. And you know, maybe that relationship with her will come later.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, we've talked about the certain, you know, scenarios that could play out in that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying here is to not put that pressure on yourself to show up yeah. because you've been doing that far too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, yes, she deserves you mm-hmm. in her life. Absolutely. But that...
And I'd take her if I could, legally. But right. But I can't. So.
Right? Well, you know, I wonder if her mom would give up rights. At this point...
I mean, really.
At this point, it's honey, let me do you a favor.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just interesting. Yeah. Like, you know, again, as stepmoms, we just put so much on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder,
mm-hmm.
why are we depressed? Why are we anxious? Why are we... You know, mm-hmm.
overthinking things.
All of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, it for me personally, whenever I'm feeling that way, it always comes back to what am I carrying that I shouldn't be carrying? Mm-hmm. That's yeah. not mine to carry.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, when I get asked, how do you know it's worth it? And for me, it always comes back to, do I have a partner? Because this shit's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard no matter how you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for even the most strong couples.
Yeah.
It's just innately hard. But if I always have a partner who mm-hmm. I can turn to and go, this shit is hard. I need to put this down. Will you carry this for me?
Yeah.
Or I'm having a really hard time. Can you hear me out?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't want to be a stepmom right now. I just want to be your wife. I
yes.
just want to be your wife.
Yes!
To see me as that, because yes. that is why I'm here. This mm-hmm. stuff, the relationship I have with him, that's extra. And I just want to be extra right now.
Yeah.
And when I have a partner who can look at me and go, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need right now. And not judge me mm-hmm. and just accept me in that space. That to me is when I know that it's worth it. Because
yeah.
if I can put aside all the stepmom shit and still come home to mm-hmm. my soulmate and my person who happens to have a kid,
mm-hmm.
that is when I know it's worth it.
Yeah.
If I have anything less than that,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to work.
It's yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. 100%. I appreciate that. And I think, you know, one of the things I want to add here about... just stepmoms that are either in their marriages or thinking about, you know, the challenges in their marriages and, you know, all the things that you think about when it gets to the point where is
really
it worth it and
hard.
All the things. All of those things, excuse me, I have so many thoughts I want to say, but, you know, the children that we develop these loving relationships with play an immense part in our lives. And when we make the decision, and I'm going to say this unconsciously, because we don't consciously make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't program ourselves to wake up and say, I will love this child.
Right.
We just love them. I will do this for this child. We just do it,
mm-hmm.
most likely. So for all of the stepmoms out there that think this way, operate this way, those are the traits you carry. I mean, you're special. You're special individuals. You're special women. It takes a lot, and you have a lot of love to give, and you have just, your heart is so big, and you're just willing to do all of this, and it's hard to let go, and it is for me, too. It's hard to mm-hmm. just separate that, because, you know, I feel like I am a person that has a big heart, and I have a lot of love to give, and I want to divvy that up, and it's important to recognize how special you are, because the relationship you have with these stepkids is a choice. Mm-hmm. Right? And I don't know that many people really understand what that means. And I think, and I can't speak to being a biological parent because I'm not one, but I think there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And so when you make the choice to fully immerse yourself in this child and that relationship, I mean, like, kudos to all of us, all of you that are doing that, because it's a daily choice. And you've been gifted with all of this love and this care and this just this empathy to be there for this child that you didn't create, and to, like you said, carry that. Mm-hmm. And it's a choice to carry that. And so if anything, on the days that it seems very challenging, like when on the days where I'm mourning my stepdaughter or the loss of the relationship or the routine we had, I think to myself, damn, man, like I feel like I gave her a lot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was able to connect with her in a lot of ways that I'm hopeful she's carrying along, and she's mm-hmm. just holding that with her day to day, because I am, mm-hmm. because that's all I have and that's all I can do right now. Mm-hmm. I know that I have the doors open. I could probably do more, but right now I'm going to focus on me mm-hmm. and my journey, because mm-hmm. If not, you know, it could get tricky, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to stay focused on.
For once, mm-hmm. you need to focus just on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. And I feel like it's important. And I think people need to hear that too. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, I want to focus on me. And it may sound X, Y, and Z. And what about this person? But it's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. They will make it. They will survive. Yep. They will be mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And should that come back together later in life, you're just going to be a better version of yourself right. yep. because of this time
yep.
that we're investing.
Yeah.
Or that mm-hmm. I'm investing on myself. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Shit's hard, man. But yeah. you know what? It's a day-by-day process. And yeah, I feel like when you know you've made a big decision in life and it's the right decision.
Mm-hmm. It's relief.
It's relief.
Yeah.
And you're on a path towards change, and mm-hmm. that can be scary, but also very exciting. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Oh, man.
Girl, we got Wait, deep.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be laughing and shit. We done got deep tonight.
So I think we're going to wrap it up here.
Okay.
If anyone has any questions, thoughts, feelings, if you want to reach out to Gannett and mm-hmm. send her any sort of messages, words of encouragement, questions, you can email at radicalstepmomspodcast.com, and I will make sure, or no, not .com, radicalstepmomspodcast@gmail.com, and I will make sure that she gets them. Anything yeah. else before we part? You'll be on another time.
I'll be on soon. This has been so familiar and so amazing and enjoyable, and it probably won't happen tonight because it's getting late, but once she sets me up or helps me get a yes. Instagram, which we'll make another date specifically that. For, then she can say my yes. Instagram yes. information.
I will hook you up.
Otherwise, yeah, it's been a pleasure, and all of you, you know, keep doing what y'all doing and keep it real and take care of yourselves. Because you have to be the best version of yourself to show up for everyone else every day. So, love y'all and keep it 100.
Yeah. Woo! Be well and stay radical.
Bye.
All right, ladies, the episode is over, but do you want a little more? Come find me on Instagram and join the community at Radical Stepmoms Podcast. Or schedule a one-on-one session and get that personalized support. Or become a Radical member and gain access to exclusive content like bonus episodes and merch. Radical Stepmoms is so much bigger than a podcast. Check out the details in the notes on this episode.